Abide in the love of the Lord and keep his commandments. Abide in his love and keep his commandments. As you hear those phrases and as you hear that pairing, abiding in his love, keeping his commandments, do you feel a tension there? Do you feel like the love of the Lord and doing what you're supposed to for the Lord feel like a tension? I think often we, if we're really honest with ourselves, feel some tension between doing what we're supposed to do and simply receiving God's love. We are so used to relationships in which doing things for other people is sort of, in some sense, traded for them loving us or liking us. Do the right thing and then I'll like you. Do nice things for me and I'll be nice to you. Behave and you get love. We're raised that way, even by loving good parents. Often they're doing it for our own benefit. Be good or you're going in time out. Or be good or you're going to be punished. And we'll think parents, good parents, have to do that because they have to form us to behave well. But somehow we get this idea in our head that we are constantly trading good behavior for love. You grow up, you work a job, and you know that your boss is not there to be your friend. If you have a really good relationship, it may grow into friendship. But the boss is not some disinterested person who just wants to love and serve you. No, you're trading your work for the approval of that boss, and that approval includes money. And also a good job today. And we have relationships with people who get to choose to be our friends or not. And they choose to be your friend because they like you. They like the way you treat them. The way you care about them. The way that you give to them and they give to you. And there's a mutual peace to that. You might find someone that you marry. And you marry because you love each other. You make a commitment. And that commitment does grow as you keep sacrificing for each other. You seek to be selfless. You seek to give first rather than demanding to receive. Because if you're in a marriage or another relationship where you're constantly focused on what you're not getting, you destroy the relationship. But if you're both focused on giving to each other, then there's plenty to go around. But still, there's a piece of us that says, okay, but I've got to be good to this person for this person to love me. We get so accustomed to this that we go to God and we think, okay, I've got to do certain things for God to get him to love me or to keep him loving me or to make him love me more. That's not what it is. And yet, he connects abiding in his love with keeping his commandments. So there's a challenge there. Because on one hand, God so loved us while we were yet sinners, while we were disconnected from him, while our sins were not forgiven, while we were guilty of everything you could be guilty of, collectively as a human race and individually, because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. While we were guilty of all of that, and there was nothing about us that should have made him love us, nevertheless, God loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice. Jesus Christ died to restore us to relationship with God and to the community of God and the plan of God. So we didn't have to earn any of his love. He wasn't waiting for us to be good first. And that continues where there's not this, I'm just waiting for you to mess up so I can stop loving you. God is not like that. God is not watching us perform to make sure that we're worthy of his love because we were never worthy to begin with. God doesn't love us because we're worthy. God doesn't love us because we behave. God doesn't love us because we keep his commandments. And yet, it talks about all throughout our epistle and our gospel today, and throughout those whole books, really, John's gospel, John's epistles, that there's this intimate connection between the commands of God and abiding in his love. But it's not a trading. It's not a earning his love. Rather, to abide in his love is also to keep his commandments. Notice that it's abiding in his love, not making him love you, and not even loving him, although that's there too. Rather, it's that his love is constant, but we're called to rest and move and live our lives in his love. Somebody wants to express love to you, so they reach out and they take your hand. And if you are uncomfortable with this person, you might jerk your hand away. And if you're a little bit comfortable, you might squeeze their hand back and let go. And if you really are close to this person, if this person really is a best friend or a spouse or a parent or a child, you might hold on to their hand. You could do that limply. You'll let them hold your hand. Or you can hold back just a little bit. Hold on to their hand just a little bit. And you could hold hands for a minute or 5 minutes or half hour. Same thing with a hug. You can let someone hug you. You can return a quick hug. Or that hug could really last. You could participate in that hug. It's a little bit like what abiding in the love of God is. His love is constant. His love is coming to us. But we can ignore his love. We can briefly acknowledge his love. Or we can actually live in his love, responding to it and letting ourselves be loved. And some of us, in different ways, all of us, have trouble receiving the love of God and responding to his love. Some of us have trouble receiving anyone's love and responding to it for all different reasons. Sometimes you do something hurtful to another person. Have you ever done this? I know you've done that part, because we all have. But have you ever done something hurtful to someone else? They may not even know that you've done it yet, but you start finding yourself getting mad at the person you hurt for no particular reason. But it's so much easier to be mad than to be ashamed. So you did something to them, they're the victim, but somehow, in our own weird minds, we start coming up with reasons to be mad at them so I don't have to feel guilty, I don't have to feel ashamed. You might even imagine them overreacting to what you did. They haven't even known about it yet, but you imagine them overreacting and you start, they kind of deserved it after all. No, they didn't. Or you do something hurtful to another person and then you just avoid them. I don't want to face them. I know what I did was wrong, but I just don't even want to see them. So if we do that to people, it's not that big of a surprise that we would do that to God. Because God has given us so much more than anyone else has ever given us. And we have done so much more against God than we've done to anyone else. And it's easy to walk through our lives and see the bad things we've done, the hurtful things we've done to God and to his people, to his creation, and to just start saying, I just don't want to think about God and things of God. I just want to distract myself. And there's a whole range of distraction, right? It can be anything from, I'm going to throw my life into sin in big dramatic ways to ignore God. Or it can be, I'm just going to go home and just turn on the TV and just watch TV all the time. Just distract myself. Or stuff that seems more positive. I'm going to throw myself into my work. And I'm just going to work like crazy so hard that I never have to think about anything else except work. In some ways, the underlying motivation isn't that different, whether you're struggling with drugs or you're just wasting your life on TV, or you're getting acclamations, praise from people for what incredible worker you are because you put in 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you never have to think about God at all. But we work without even sometimes planning it or telling ourselves, we work to distract ourselves from God because for all kinds of different reasons, we don't want to abide in his love. We distract ourselves from his love. Sometimes we feel guilty because we're not worthy of his love. And true humility is to understand, yes, I'm not worthy of the love of God. It's a gift that I do not deserve. You can't really be too proud if you know you don't deserve his love to begin with. And you can't really look at other people and compare yourselves to them and say, well, I'm better than this person or that person, when none of us deserve the love of God. We're all working from a deficit. We're all working from a pit that we found ourselves in that he rescued us from. You don't say, well, I made a total mess of my life, but this other person made even more of a total mess of their life, so I'm pretty good. Nope. Right? We are a company, we're a community of people who made a mess of our lives and have been rescued by God. And yet, as we live with God, as we abide with him, as we have a relationship with him, he gives us a way of living. A way of living that stays in relationship with him. A way of living that honors him. And a way of living that's good for us. Imagine for a second, Jesus Christ walking through his day, and somebody is just rude to him. We know from the Gospels this happened a lot. There are people who are vicious to him. But imagine just somebody being rude to him. And do you really think that Jesus had to pause and say, oh, I just really want to curse this guy out right now. I want to just jump up and down screaming at this guy. I want to be so angry. I want to really get him. Oh, but I shouldn't. I'm Jesus. Okay. I got to hold back. Oh, I wish I didn't have to hold back. I want to really let him go. I just want to, I know, I'm so connected with God. I know everything about this guy. I could spill his worst secrets right now in front of everybody. And I know curse words that haven't even been invented yet, right? No. It's not just that Jesus wouldn't do that. It's they didn't want to do that. Because I don't know if you've ever really let loose on somebody and really chewed them out. And it might feel satisfying for a little bit. And then if you really think about what you said and did, it's pretty horrible. When you really cut somebody emotionally or with your words, it's really vicious. It might feel good in the moment. But even later, if you're trying to feel good about it, you have to kind of convince yourself again that they deserved it. And on top of what it did to them, going through your day angry with someone, maybe you did hold back. Maybe you didn't say it to their face. But you spend the next day or week or month or year imagining all the things you could say to this person. It's miserable. Yeah, you get little flashes where the anger feels good. Because again, feeling angry is sometimes more comfortable than feeling hurt. Or scared, or frustrated. But to carry that around, to keep thinking about the mean things you want to say to somebody else, it's not very happy, it's not very comfortable. It's not that Jesus wasn't mistreated, it's not that he didn't experience the temptations we experienced. He did. The scripture tells us that he faced every temptation we did. It's Jesus had control of his anger. He got angry several times that we see in the Gospels, but he got angry in a godly way at a godly time for godly reasons. And he wasn't going, oh, I really want to commit this sin, but I'm not allowed to. He was better than that. He lived according to the commandments of God his Father. He lived according to his character as the perfect godly man, as God as man. He lived in the presence and the empowering of the Holy Spirit always. And if we could live that way, not just keeping the commands of God, but being happy about it, enjoying keeping the commandments of God, how incredibly freeing it would be. Our lives would be so much better. So many of the things we're tempted to do, so many of the temptations we give into, they're hurting us, not just other people. And we think we're getting away with something while we're hurting us. Someone cheats on their spouse. It's not just their spouse they hurt. They hurt themselves. They hurt their marriage. They take the most important relationship in their life and they damage it. It's like knocking holes in the walls of your own house and going, ha, 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 nobody could stop me from doing that. I sure got away with something. I punched a bunch of holes in the wall. Ha. I always wanted to do that when I was a kid, and now it's my house, and I get to do that. You'd look at him and go, look, when you're a kid, maybe you didn't understand that you don't want to damage your own house, but you're an adult. It's your house now. Why would you damage it? But we live our lives that way. God teaches us how to live. And when we live against the way that he gives us, we're damaging our own lives, our own selves, our own souls, as well as the people around us. And God brings us into a family. Our brothers and sisters in Christ are our family. And to hurt them and sin against them is to hurt ourselves as well. And if God is our Father, if he's adopted us into our family, to sin against our family is to hurt God, to turn against him. And he's saying, I still love you, but you can't do that. You can't live that way and respond to and receive my love. It's not that his love is taken away. You can't receive his love. You can't be enjoying the love of a parent and punching your brother and sister at the same time. You can only focus on one or the other. Might not mean that your parent doesn't love you anymore, but you sure can't be rolling around punching and kicking your sibling at the same time that you're receiving the love of God. And you can't be using people as objects or mistreating them or not valuing them and also know that God loves you not for anything you've done, that he loves you as his beloved. We can't really see ourselves and other people that differently. We look over at someone else and say, well, that person's not very worthwhile. Here's all the problems with them. It's hard to bypass our own problems and say, God loves me just the way I am. If we're critical to other people, we end up being critical to ourselves. That's why when you meet someone who's critical to you, one of the gifts is to have compassion on them and realize this person's probably really tough on themselves too. And to feel sorry, not just defensive. It's hard to do in practice. I have a hard time with it too. But we are called to love in action. And as we do that, we learn and grow in our ability to receive the love of God. And so finally, last point on this for this morning. We're reminded a couple of times in our readings today, you can't say that you love God who you can't see while you're walking around not loving the people he's brought into your life that are right in front of you. Because we have a misguided understanding of what love is. We think love is just emotional. Love is something outside of our control. Love is something that comes on us or doesn't. And on top of that, we like to think about love in these sort of starry-eyed ways And then we like to think of ourselves as, I know I'm a loving person. I know I'm a loving person. I'm just a loving person. And it doesn't mean anything. That sort of self-evaluation of, I'm just the type of person who's loving, or I'm just the type of person who's non-judgmental, or I'm just the type of person who's whatever. We say those things and they just don't mean much. How do you know if you're loving? You actually love people. How do you know if you love God? In part, look at how you actually treat your brothers and sisters in Christ. Look at how you treat the people who don't yet know Him. If you love God, you'll want people to become Christians. Doesn't mean we're necessarily good at it or we know how to make it happen, or but we want people to know Him. We want to treat our brothers and sisters in Christ the way that God loves them. We model His love. We act it out. We put it into action. Don't say, I'm so in love with my spouse. Love your spouse. Actions and words. Words are actions too. Tell your spouse you love them. Treat them well. Your best friends, love them with actions. Your brothers and sisters in Christ here in the church, love them. But don't get idealistic about this. Don't imagine how loving a person you are. Don't think abstractly, I'm just a loving kind of person. Do the action of loving. Because people so often describe themselves in a way that they want to be and then convince themselves that's who they are. But anytime you have to resort to this abstract, I'm just not a very judgmental person kind of language, you're really trying to talk yourself into an evaluation of yourself. Talk yourself into a way that you want to see yourself, who you want to be when you look in the mirror. Just don't bother with that. You don't need to defend yourself. You don't need to describe yourself. You don't need to worry about how somebody else would evaluate you or describe you. Do love. Do love. Choose to love today. And as you do that day by day, you will grow in your ability to love others, and you'll grow in your ability to love God, and you'll grow in your ability to receive the love of God. You'll know yourself as more loved by God as you love others. Not, again, because He loves you more for doing it, but because He already loves you in a steady way, and the more you live in that love, the more you'll be able to receive the love that He has for you, to receive the love that is constant gift from Him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.